If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone who has been a guest on the show, I guess a couple times at least in the past, but it's been a while. I mean, you were one of sort of the earliest guests on the show with one of your earliest projects, I guess, probably close to a decade ago now. And this is something completely different we're talking about today. But I think maybe the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what it is you do musically and maybe some of the bands you've been in sort of leading up to the one we're talking about today.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me back. My name's Andy Cole. I am here talking about my band, Great Wealth. But the first time I appeared on your show would have been with my old band way back in the day. We were called Eagle Lake Owls.
Yeah.
We were like, at the time, I think we were like a three-piece band, folk. And then that band kind of evolved onto like a little more rock band sort of thing. And then I would have been on again.
I think with Alamode.
Alamode, yeah. Which was comprised of Domo, who was in the original incarnation of Eagle Lake Owls, and Ava, who replaced me in Alamode, but was also in the later incarnation of Eagle Lake Owls.
I think it's just a good example of how incestuous the local music scene is, right? Everyone's in each other's bands, or has been at one point or another.
That's it, yeah. And like, there's so much talent, and there's so many people you meet that you're like, I want to work with that person. It's just fun. It's fun to collab, and it's why you see so many people of the same people in so many things, is because you get to like, you know, the people you collab with. Like Nathan Cron, who's in Great Wealth now, was in like every iteration of Eagle Lake Owls, and the sort of an earlier stage of Great Wealth. Like Nathan is someone almost every musical thing I've done in Winnipeg, I've done with him. And then it's kind of a cast of characters around that.
Yeah. Well, Great Wealth, yeah. I mean, maybe let's just kind of dig into what Great Wealth is, because I mean, I think I'd heard the name. I think we probably talked about it briefly about maybe doing this a while back, and it didn't happen, and I'm glad we're doing it now. But how long has Great Wealth actually been the project?
It really, the first time it started was in, it sort of came together in like late 2018, early 2019. And we started like, I had this idea for sort of coming out of what Eagle Lake Owls was, which was like, this really kind of like, I was trying to be very earnest and write these emotional kind of songs, but I was tired of being so like morose and like sad as like folk and folk inspired rock, which is kind of what it turned into was. And so I said, Great Wealth, I want it to be this thing that's kind of like more exuberant and more fun and still very honest and still like these songs, it's a lot more like fun beats based and loud, and I yell all the time and I lose my voice every time we play. It's terrible, but that was the idea. Was I really wanted to keep writing in that same feeling, but I wanted it to be, you know, what I consider more enjoyable experience to listen to or witness on stage.
But I guess the last Eagle Lake Owls EP was pretty high energy compared to the previous stuff, right? I mean, you were definitely kind of leaning in that direction. It was maybe a bit of a bummer, some of the like content wise, but like sound wise, it was a party.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. It was. Yeah. And that's sort of where that was the jumping off point for this band was. Yeah. It was like, you know, it was about having a little more fun. Content. I mean, the I'll say the songwriting content wise, it's not much rosier a lot of the time, but maybe we can get into that. But mainly, I wanted to kind of have more fun on stage, and we even had to tinker around with that when we started the band. So like I said, sorry, I should make clear, it formed like 2018, 2019. We played, I think, two or three shows, and then like everybody, we didn't play shows for 2.5 years or whatever. Over the pandemic, there was kind of retooling with as far as who was in the band,
yeah,
and what the band was going to sound like. So you remember Eagle Lake Owls, we had like strings, we had like, the cello and stuff. And Gage Sonikowski, who is also in the band now, he can play everything, but he was playing a lot of violin. And Nathan was playing cello, and we were trying to do this like switching around between all these people of like, we want bass, we want guitar, we want cello, we want drums, we want everything. But we were like five people, and it was right. Just too much. So what Great Wealth is pared down to now is like, I wanted a band that was like relatively easy to put up on stage. So we got rid of the strings live. We recording wise, there's none on this EP, but there will be on other stuff we do. That's another big difference. Yeah, is we wanted to, make it an easier live experience for us. Because for anyone who's sound checked with strings players, it's the most beautiful thing when you can pull off a show and the strings are great.
But yeah,
it instantly adds like 20 minutes to your sound check. Like everyone is just it's rough.
Well, so. And that's kind of something that comes up a lot on the show. Not strings particularly, but just the idea of people having a lot of layers on their records. A lot of additional instruments that maybe aren't there in the live band. And then there's the kind of the question of how do you adjust the sound so it fits and it doesn't feel like it's missing anything. And I mean, it sounds like the fact that you didn't use the strings in the recording maybe makes it a little easier to do that part of things.
Yeah, there's not much on the EP that we don't do live. Like there's a little extra guitar parts added just to kind of flesh it out. But I think, My consideration with stuff like that was that, when deciding to pare down the band and what it was going to be live, what we were going to record, was like, I'm fine if there's things in the recording that we don't necessarily like pull off exactly like note perfect.
Yeah.
Hey, that's on the recording. You didn't do it there. Like nothing. I don't want anything very important to be happening in the recording that we can't do live. But, I wanted to be part of the idea of our live show is like, I wanted to it to be fun enough that if it is different, you are still having that fun experience when you sing it live. If it's not note for note the exact same thing, sometimes that's more fun anyway. Yeah. I wouldn't say we reinterpret things live really, or at least at this point, but I think we pull it off.
Cool. Well, and you alluded to the whole missing years that everyone had with the pandemic, and so like you said, this band started sort of before that, then you had that obvious gap. Were the songs on this EP written prior to all of this, or are they songs that kind of came about in the post-pandemic incarnation of the band?
Only one of the songs was developed pre-pandemic.
Okay.
On the EP. It's the last track on there. It's called "What If I Can't Let Go," and it's like a pretty. I wrote it a long time ago, and it was. I love it. It's the only really like deeply personal song on it for me, but it was also tough. It took work for us, for the band, when we were beginning to get to that sound, because something that happened when we were sort of, when I was forming the band, I was trying to explain what the sound was to everybody. I'm like, oh, I want, because everyone in the band knew me already.
Right. And they have an idea of what you've played before, right? And what you're sort of...
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, and it's like this. And everyone's trying to play this, like, the singer-songwriter kind of style.
Sure.
Like a song. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. It's like this. And I'm like trying to do this like thing with the beat. And everyone's like, they're like, is there an example? And I pulled up my phone and I played the song Regret by New Order just into the microphone at the jam space. And everybody was like, oh, you want it to sound like that? I'm like, yes, I want this to sound like that. This is what I want the band to sound like. If I could just write that song over and over, I would be so happy. It's one of my favorite songs ever. So that was like, that was a good starting point. I'm glad it's on the EP because it is a symbol of like where the band came into the sound that I really wanted. And then two of the songs, I think the first track and the third track, the first song is called You Love This Once. It was the single we put out ahead.
Yeah.
And the third track is called It Runs in the Family. And those I wrote about a week apart during the pandemic when like everyone else, my life just collapsed and everything was pretty terrible and a bunch of stuff was going bad outside of that for me. And I just was inspired to just write these two songs that are sort of mirrors of two different types of breakups.
Okay.
And so those are kind of indicative of where I was writing at that time and still trying to put this new version of the band together where we finally are at this solid lineup now.
It's 4 in the morning, it's 4 in the morning, it's time. The shape of your body's impressed upon the covers beside. You call up your mother and tell her that you love and say goodnight. This runs in your family, you run but never make it in time.
And then, one of the songs was written just back last spring. It's very new, and we're just super excited about it, that one.
Cool. So. I think it'll be interesting in like 10 years from now to look back at songs that were written in that period with that kind of hindsight, because we're still too close to it, I think. But there's going to be some weird stuff that came out, you know, right after the pandemic or during the pandemic that maybe we're too close to it now to not saying that yours is going to be the weird thing, but I think there's going to be a lot of art that was created that is going to be very, very clearly inspired by that it's going to be obvious sort of down the road.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, some of it came out during the pandemic.
Sure.
There was contemporaneous pandemic art, and I didn't really love it because it was a lot about like, let's connect. But the way everyone was connecting was like we're doing right now
over
Zoom. And I'm like, that's depressing. I don't want to be reminded that's the only way I could see my friends or my family, you know, or my grandma who's you know, a million years old.
And, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want the last time I see her to be over Zoom. Thankfully it was.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the writing for this is nothing, you know, I don't ever want to get specific into that time if I can help it, because I didn't have a good time during the pandemic. Not like I really did, but
yeah,
I don't live through that again. I don't want to think about it other than, you know, masking up when I get sick and being careful.
Yeah, which hopefully most people
it was a bummer.
Taking some of those steps. But so, I mean, yeah. I don't want to dwell on the pandemic. I've dwelt on the pandemic twice a week for years now. But I mean, like on this show. But I mean, now that, you know, hopefully we're past it. Shows are happening. They've been happening for a while. All of the things that people can do as far as performing and going to shows and getting people to come out to shows, that's all back and has been for quite some time. So what... How much have you guys played out with this lineup of the band? Sort of since it formed into its current iterations.
Became what it is, yeah. I think we've done maybe 6 shows since June of 2023. So
okay.
Not like a whole lot. I'd like to do more. It's just, it's tough. I think that, you know, a real impetus, not just because we like playing shows, but a real impetus to get this EP done was that we don't have anything out there, and it's hard to like book shows when you're like, yeah, sure. Hey, we're a band. Trust us. We're a real band. Trust us. There's whatever. And you know, the only thing you can give them is like video on Instagram or something to prove you're a band. So we're like, well, you know, that's why we wanted to do the EP, was to have that proof. I'll say too, what I really love is that, I mean, we haven't played a ton of shows, but we also haven't played like a real bummer show yet. Like a show that's like, oh, I wish we hadn't.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully you can continue that streak
It always will. It will eventually.
Right? Yeah,
but but I think we're prepared for it because like we got lucky with our first few shows. Like I booked a really good lineup ahead for our like debut show last summer. And then we got on... In September, we got on our friends of the Ons Getting Larger, who are playing the EP release show with us on May 11th. Local guys, they're very good. One of my favorites in the city. They had us on their EP release show back in September, and at the Goodwill, it was packed. And we actually got a really good full length video of the set from a local team that Leon's had brought in, and they offered video to all the other bands on
there. That's good to have.
Okay, we took it and. Yeah, and it's like high def, like it looks
cool,
beautiful, and even the sound. They just had like a boom on the camera, just like a little fixed one.
Yeah,
and even then, it's like it's not perfect, but it's like it's sound in the room and it's great. But the video looks fantastic. We've used it for all our promo material. Yeah, they're really great. I'm just trying to remember their name. Solid Fuel is who did it.
Okay. Well, that's good to have as like a calling card too, right? That live. I mean, obviously having the EP helps maybe even more because you're on all those. You'll be on all the streaming platforms and all that crap that people seem to care about a lot. But I mean, having the video gives kind of an indication of not only what does the sound like, but what is the show like? And that's got to be beneficial for booking shows too.
Mm. Yeah, we had a great show that night. So I'm really happy if I could have picked any show that we ever played, that's the one I'm glad that we got good video of.
Cool.
And it's, yeah, like we try to all have energy in the band. Like Gage, again, plays the one, like I said, we don't have strings anymore, but the one sort of like, you know, slightly uncommon instrument we have, Gage plays tenor saxophone. So when you hear and see a saxophone, it just, you get like, people just get excited. Like I love hearing a saxophone.
Yeah, me too.
Like a high energy rock song. You're like, yeah, this is cool. Okay. And he's very good at it. So
that helps.
Yeah, when your guy plays it well. So, yeah. So I also want to say, I mentioned everybody in the band except our drummer, Kyle. Kyle Kalkgold, who was the last edition. We had a lot of trouble finding a drummer. And I knew Kyle, but I'm in another band with Kyle called Hearing Trees.
Okay, yeah, right. Of course,
Which I forgot to mention. But Kyle and I played together in that. And I just thought it would be weird you know what I mean? Just like, should I be asking him? And I did. He's like, yes, I was waiting for you to ask. So
that's good.
He came in, slipped right in. You know, he and I have toured together, you know, for weeks and weeks at a time. So we know each other and he knows that I'm about. So he came right in and played great. So another great part of the live experience. And, you know, speaking of the video, like we were saying, he turns up great in the video.
Awesome. That's, yeah, can't complain about any of that. The whole thing about not having not played a lot of shows and sort of the fact that they kind of paired with the fact that this is different, a different project from what people might associate with you, people who have seen you in other bands. Have you figured out sort of where this project fits within the local music scene? I mean, I know you mentioned, you know, some other bands you played with, but do you have an idea of sort of, because there's so many little micro scenes and things like that sort of within the larger music community, right? Like, do you have an idea of sort of, you know, who your audience is, who your brother and sister bands are, like where you fit in?
Yeah, I mean, I I'm friends with like I mentioned, like the Leon's getting larger guys. They're great, and I knew them before they played their first show. They're like way younger than me, but I used to work with two of the guys.
Okay.
And all of them are just like easy to get along with, you know, cool people. We all vibe really good. We all jam above the Goodwill. Like, we have jam spaces up there, so we see each other all the time. So those guys, just from like knowing them, you know, we're at each other's shows all the time. I also know a couple of the guys in Guilty Sleep.
Okay.
Another one of the very best bands of town that you could ever see. I can't recommend them enough as well. And we're actually, we might be doing a show with them. I don't know if I want to. I don't think it's been announced, and I think it's a for sure thing, but we'll see about that. But they're a close friend of mine, Eric, also from Hearing Trees, is in that band. And so, yeah, I consider them like a friend band. There's a few, like, I think it's just mainly from knowing people and getting to know some people. But I mean, for me, like, the thing, when I go to shows now is like everybody there, not everybody there, but like a huge, depending on the show, the majority of people will be like 10 to 20 years younger than me.
Yeah. I know the feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And what I don't want to be is like I'm fine being like the oldest or older guy in a room, but I just don't want to like act like I'm the oldest person. You know, when like you meet an older guy and he's like, I see that all before. It's like, that sucks, man. Like, I think that's the main thing I'm trying to do, is just like have an open mind and be excited about all the music that you're seeing. It's a bummer when people aren't. And I think, like, whatever, I still fall into it. Sometimes I'm like, I'm in a bad mood or something, and I'm like, man, I've heard this kind of music, but I don't tell them that. I just mumble that to myself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
They'll stay there and enjoy it. I pay to get in. I buy a tape or a sticker or something, you know, like, I just, you know, you want to be supportive. If something's not your thing, it's like, you know, I just, the worst thing I ever want to do is feel old. And it's very easy to feel old, especially when you know, you are, you know, visibly older than most of the people around you. But I'm just like, I think, oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think there's something to the idea of recognizing when something isn't for you, and that it can still be good, even though you're sort of not in the demographic that it's made for, right? I mean, there's this show, I talk to people who play all kinds of music, and there's often, especially much younger artists who are like, you know, someone 20 years old, I'm in my 40s, what they make is not necessarily going to be something that I connect to, but there's plenty of reasons why it's good and why it's interesting and why I want to find out more about it, right? So I think it's often hard to be like, oh, this is terrible, I don't like it, but then it's like, wait, well, this part is cool, well, I want to find out why that happened. I think that happens in live shows too. If you can hone in on something that sort of makes it interesting, and you can sort of, you know, zero in on that, and then you can enjoy it the same as you would anything else.
Yeah. You can appreciate it for sure. And I want to say too, like, I really want to make clear, like, I couldn't name the thing I was even talking about.
Of course.
Like, I don't even know. I just like, I really do enjoy, I think there's so much cool stuff happening in the music scene. And like, speaking of being older too, I think something I love is like Leon's Getting Larger, are like, they're like a Midwest emo band. And when I was first talking to them about like what music they play, they're like Midwest emo. I'm like, I didn't even know what that was, right? What is that genre? And then they played me like some like demo tracks they made just in their jam space. I'm like, oh, this, like, I listened to this 20 years ago. This is like, this was just emo. We just called it emo, but like, I get emo there. I know there was another wave of emo that was
very different. Very different one, yeah.
Midwest emo, I'm like, oh my God, like, you gotta listen to the Get Up Kids. Listen to, like, there's this band, my old band in like 2002 played with, that these guys sound so much like. And it made me so excited that I'm like the bands, I'm gonna keep pumping them up, but like bands like Leon's, like, what I like, and what I think a lot of this new Midwest emo it does is like, it's that stuff I liked when I was younger, but it's modern. It's a little smarter. A little, I'll say, I don't know, briefer, like a little, I think people are just better editing, self-editing their music right now.
And yeah, so I think
way better. That's the other thing I like. It's just, I like it better. So it's, that's what's fun too about about still going to shows.
Definitely.
And still being engaged. And,
for sure.
Yeah. Like I,
there's a benefit to it. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, hey, there was a few years, and I don't even think I'm counting the pandemic, years I just really wasn't making music and I wasn't going to music. And, you know, so I guess sometimes you need time away, but I look at it now, I'm like, man, I must have missed so much good stuff. Like, there's so many bands right now that like they're here and they're gone and they might never even record something.
That's right.
And I'm like, you know, I probably missed some good stuff. There's stuff I've seen already here that, you know, in the last year that like they were here, they did some shows, they were amazing, and then they're gone.
And just never to be heard from again. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's that Wilco song, The Late Greats.
Right, right.
I made it through thanks to the pills. And this routine I knew so well. Cover your eyes and steal your heart. Just clench your jaw and trap these feelings in your mouth. But what if I can't let go? Straighten up and sit real still. Do that impression of your smile. I got so good, gave you chills. You said it's nice to see you happy for a while. Now what if I can't let go?
By the time this comes out, people will have already heard, if they're checking out your stuff, they will have heard the EP. The EP's out. What's the best way to find this? I mean, I know we're in an era where people listen to music in 1,700 different ways. Where would you direct someone, ideally, to check out the EP?
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere you get your music online. I'll say, Spotify is easy. I have Spotify. It's easy, but we're never going to make a dollar off it. If you want to, if you want to support music, I appreciate that. And Bandcamp is the best way.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I was just updating our thing. I'm sorry, I'm going to tab. I think it's It's just greatwealth.bandcamp.com.
Well, I'll link to it in the show notes too, so people can actually just click right on there. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Bandcamp is the best place. I don't think I put a limit on streaming, so if you like it, you can do it as many times as you want on there. It's not going to bug you. If you want to kick some money in, we appreciate that. If you're in Winnipeg, come on out to a show. We just got a pile of new merch as well. So
awesome.
If you like merch stuff, yeah.
Cool. And then, the good thing about this being a podcast, someone could hear it the day it comes out, in which case this is a very new record, or they could hear it a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever. I assume I'm going to be doing this show like in perpetuity. So what's the best way to sort of keep up with what the band's doing as far as shows, releases, things like that? Because, by the time someone hears this, you could have a brand new album happening, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I feel like we're most active on Instagram, so I would say go there. Great Wealth Music is our handle, and I think that's our handle on something else. I don't know, if you put Great Wealth Music all one word into Google, you'll definitely find us.
Kiss.
Do not try and contact me through Facebook. Someone did it this week. I didn't even know how to reply to them anymore. Facebook is it's insane. So it's Instagram.
Do the Instagram,
the best.